Holy God, may we find wisdom in the readings today. May we find inspiration in the presence of those around us. Amen. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? There's something about the view of the mountains across fields, or the view of a snowy, lion-shaped mountain tops across a cityscape that inspires us to poetry. The language of harvest is poetic. Golden grain, ripe pumpkins, gold grain against azure skies. It's no wonder that this is not just the season of Thanksgiving. Last Thursday was International Poetry Day. And for the past few weeks, when I looked up at the mountaintops and fields, it was some of the oldest poetry in our culture that would pour into my mind like water filling a pitcher. The heavens are telling the glory of God. The firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech. Night calls to night in wisdom. The Bible is full of poetry, not just the Psalms. Entire books of the Bible are written in poetry. That's partly why we remember them, why they resonate. And conversely, much of the world's poetry contains images from and references to and images from the Bible. In just a few words, a poet can call forth our memories of a story, the allusions, the questions, the emotion of an exultant king or a grieving father. Poetry awakens and expresses emotion. Poetry helps us to name what is elusive and mysterious. Poetry opens up our sharpest pains and our deepest joys. I was listening to an Irish poet the other day. He spoke about going with the people of his church to the places in Belfast where there had been tragedy. And he said that they would go and gather round, and they would ask one another, "What name of God do we cry out in this situation?" In our prayer and in our worship, we too engage in the poetic work of naming God. There was a hymn writer, Thomas Troeger, in the 1800s, and he wrote a hymn that goes like this: "Source and sovereign, rock and cloud, fortress, fountain, shelter, light, judge, defender, mercy, might, life whose life all life endowed. Word and wisdom, root and vine, shepherd, savior, servant, lamb, well and water, bread and wine, way who leads to the I am." And then he says, "May the church at prayer recall that no single holy name except the truth feeds them all, is the God whom we proclaim." Poets help us to keep our language sharp, to turn words and phrases in new and unexpected directions, to give our words an edge. And a colleague of mine from Glasgow says, "And not to soften our voices cheaply." I'm going to leave you with that one. Recently, I stood at the bottom of a hill on Vancouver Island, and before me were rising green fenced fields, held grazing sheep, and in another field, for some reason, llamas. And behind these glorious mountains rose up shining in the morning sun. And the words that first came to me were, "You, Lord, are both lamb and shepherd." But of course, it's like a mountain stream that tumbles into a pool in my mind, the words, "The Lord is my shepherd." And this week, as it happened, I listened to a very deep Scottish voice of that Glaswegian minister, Doug Gay, celebrating Poetry Day with these comments on this, the most famous poem in the world, "The Lord is our shepherd." And he says, it's not hard to think of the times and places, the situations in which many of us will name God as shepherd. And often, it will be times of grief or loss. And while this psalm can be used in ways we think of as sentimental, there is still a robust simplicity, I wish I had his accent, to its poetry, which resists that. It does, after all, speak of enemies and of fear, and to read it or hear it is to have the shadow of death fall on us for at least a moment. And yet this ancient poem has a weather-beaten defiance to it. It is death-defying. There is a stubborn confidence in God at work that refuses to give in to fear, which names the world in which God is with us, a world in which we will have enough, in which there will be rest, in which the waters will be quiet, and in the fields the table will be set, the guests honored, and the glass filled. This is poetry of a confident faith. It is no wonder that we reach for it when our own faith is low or lost, when death's shadow is darkest, when we are afraid. Every poem has an ending, but every meal has a beginning. At our Thanksgiving table this weekend, we might begin where the psalm ends, for these are the words of both beginning and ending. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sometimes we know the name we cry out must be this name. God, you are our shepherd. Amen. And so,